Take your Bibles, if you would, and go with me back to Proverbs. So glad to be able to be with you and to be in the Word of God today. I would like to just say something before we start to help us all. That is, every believer decides that the Bible, the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures are where we find truth. Amen. We don't care what society says. Amen. We don't accept even what science says if it disagrees with the Word of God. Amen. We don't decide what we believe based on what a history book told us. We are people of a book. That makes us foolish in the world's eyes, but wise in God's eyes. Because the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And if you fear God, you will love His book. That said, I want to preach to you on what I'm calling stranger danger, and I'll tell you why. Because God likes marriage. Amen. Because God likes marriage. One man, one woman, one lifetime. That's God's plan. God's plan is that a man would not mess with anybody besides his spouse. He wouldn't be on porn. He wouldn't be in a flirtatious relationship with someone who he wasn't married to. I've spent a lot of time, I do counseling you don't know about, and I've counseled young people, and they said to me, I can't help it, I have a same-sex attraction. And I said, I'm fine with whatever you say, except this. We got to go with what the Bible says. And if you're a believer, you got to put down what you feel and what you desire and what you want, and you've got to accept what the Word of God says if you're a real believer in Jesus Christ. Could I get an amen there? Amen. And so this whole passage, Solomon is a wise man, but this isn't really the counsel of a dad to his son. It's the counsel of a dad to his son that the Holy Spirit said, I want that written down. Amen. He gave a lot more counsel than this. I mean, he didn't just give him this counsel, but God picked what Solomon said and said, that's the ones I want written in my Bible. And we trust that God did just that. So I want you to write down a few things if you do that, mark a few things in your Bible. But the first thing is that God meant for marriage to be super special. Before we ever get to stranger danger, you know, the Bible, in the Bible, marriage is a picture of the relationship that Jesus Christ has with the church. That makes it a super big deal. The Bible in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 32 says, after he's explained all about marriage, the verses everybody knows about, the verses everyone goes to. In Ephesians 5:22, he told women to submit to their husbands. In Ephesians 5:25, he told husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And when he finished that particular message, he writes at the bottom of it, I wasn't really speaking about husbands and wives. I was speaking about Jesus and the church. I was using what you understand to show you how I love you. And therefore, marriage is a divine arrangement. Man didn't make this up. Society didn't come up with husband, man, and woman. Society didn't come up and say, we're going to limit things. God created a man, and God created a woman, and God put the man and the woman together. That means that when you talk about marriage, you're talking about a relationship that God designed. When you talk about Jesus and the church, you're talking about an eternal relationship. You're talking about a relationship where there's no threat of being thrown out. Jesus Christ never looks at us and says, mess up one more time and you're out of here. They just sang about scandalous mercy and abundant grace. You can't handpick where you want that. By the way, if it's about Jesus and the church, Jesus loved us first. And Jesus came looking for us. Jesus is never unfaithful to us. If you're a Bible person, marriage is between a husband and a wife, and it is a commitment, a covenant, a lifetime thing. three times in your Bible. 1 Timothy 3:2 is the only one I've got in the notes for people to look at. But in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, it says husband and one wife. So if a guy wants to be a bishop, an overseer of a church, well, we call that the pastor, but the Bible term for it's a bishop. I'm the bishop of the church at Vision. I'm the overseer. I'm the leader. I'm the governor of the church of Vision. And he said, if you want to be one of them, then I need you to be married to one woman. Look at what it says. Husband of one wife. Then he turned to the deacons and said, they want to be deacons and help the guy lead the church. Husband of one wife. Then he turned to another place and said, if there's a widow that wants to be considered for the church to take care of her, she must be the wife of one husband. In the Bible, marriage is considered a one flesh relationship. It's a one flesh relationship. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. That's a really kind of weird concept. I mean, it's a Bible concept. What happens is a man and a woman become a new union. There's nothing so special as this. You realize what ends up happening in the scripture? This new union takes precedence over the parents. All of a sudden, a young lady walks down the aisle and she gets married. And it's like, I love you, mama. I love you, daddy, but I'm taking off with this guy. He looks at mom and dad and says, I love you, but I'm taking off with this guy. That union takes precedence. A man leaves and cleaves. It also means it takes precedence over their children. I mean, I love having children. We had 31 people in our house for Christmas. That's a bedlam. Amen. One guy said to me on Facebook, the louder the better. And I thought, you're crazy. But anyway, did you know that biblically, even a man's body doesn't belong to him? One flesh means it belongs to her, 1 Corinthians 7. Her body doesn't belong to her, belongs to him. God called it one flesh. A couple is not to live a self-centered life, but a spouse-centered life. That's obviously after the Christ-centered life. But we're to live not for, I don't have to live for me, I'm to live for Jesus and Betty. Betty's not to live for me, for her, she's to live for Jesus and Austin. The strange woman or the strange man poses great danger for any marriage. And that's what stranger danger is about. That's what Solomon talked to his son about. Before I go to this passage of scripture and go through it with you, everyone that's not your spouse is biblically considered to be a strange person to you, a foreign person to you, a person that you don't have this relationship with. I'll take you through the book of Proverbs, and we'll look at some of this in just a second. But before I do it, let me remind you that that girl or boy in that porn picture, they're not your spouse. So therefore, you're wrong to be looking. And they're wrong to be showing. Because it was never meant to be that way. In the Old Testament days, which are clearly to be understood in the New Testament, Moses actually stepped out and said, if you see and uncover the nakedness, basically, if you have any kind of sexual relationship from viewing to touching to doing, cursed. You're only to be with your spouse. That's a biblical position that all Christians ought to take. So how do you recognize the strange person? When Solomon started talking to his son, he said, now son, I want you to know this strange person is, so I want to go with you through this. Now, before I read, I need you to know, Solomon's talking to his son. So when he talks to his son, he says, my son, he talks about a strange woman. But you need to know there's strange men out there just as much. He just wasn't talking to his daughter when he wrote this. So go with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 16. The first thing we know about this strange person is that they are smooth, slick, deceiving, and excessive praise and insincere. See, what happens is they run their mouth and they say a lot of nice things. You know, it's like The woman I lived with was not near as nice as this woman. The man I lived with was not near as nice as this person. The young person who's not married yet says, this girl or this guy's not near as rude as my parents are. I think I prefer that. If you're wise, you learn to recognize how the devil talks. Now, I need to explain something to you before we go on. I need you to understand that it's really not the other woman or the other man or the same sex or any of that, that's the real problem. You need to understand that the real problem is we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And so since God loves marriage, Satan hates marriage. The devil hates everything God likes. That's why he doesn't like you either. If you're really born again, he doesn't like you, and he wants to ruin you, and he wants to ruin your life. And so in Proverbs, when Solomon gives this advice, he said, son, there's a roaring lion out there seeking whom he may devour. He would destroy you if you give him a chance. So notice how they talk. In Proverbs 2:16, it says, to deliver thee from the strange woman, the strange man, even the stranger which flatters. You know what flattery is? It's smooth talk. It's slick talk. It's deceiving talk. It's excessive praise. It's insincere. In Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 3, this strange person is slick willy, buddy. They can trick you into anything. The Bible says in 5:3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. So this strange person knows how to say what you want to hear. This strange person knows how to talk in a way to get you to believe what they would have you to believe. So here's a young girl or a young boy, and they're calling them gender confused or whatever else. But you got to understand, biblically, we know they're not gender confused. We know they're tempted by the evil one. They're tempted by the evil one, who's speaking with sweet stuff smoother than oil. She knows how to convince a person. Bible says in Proverbs 7:21, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield, and with the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Now, you should open your Bible and underline that. You should underline that in your Bible so you know that. You see, this young person, this man who's going to be unfaithful to his wife, this woman who's going to be unfaithful to her husband, this boy who's going to be unfaithful to his future spouse, or the girl to her future spouse, or this person who's going to get messed up in homosexuality, you know what they're going to say? I can't help it. That's what they say. I didn't mean to. One person made the comment that the attraction was as strong as, and he held a magnet close to metal and it jumped on the metal. And he said, it was like that for me. She caused him, and it's even stronger in the verse. Look at it. She forced him. What in the world? A woman forced a man? What'd she do? Grab his arm and twist it behind his back? What'd she do? Give him a karate chop to the jugular? What'd she do? She's a slick talker. And so you watch the internet and you listen to garbage and it messes you up. They know how to use words to convince you, to make you feel good about doing wrong and making wrong decisions. You feel you have to agree. You have to make that decision. As a believer, you should be more concerned about truth in Scripture than fair speeches. A believer says, I know what I feel, I know what everybody says, but let me back up and say, what does God say? What does the Creator say? What does the one who saved me say? What's the one who bought me with his grace say to me? Your helplessness is caused by your selfish ignorance. You choose on purpose not to do what you know what the Bible says. That's why you're being forced. Watch out for the excessive concern for externals. You see, this strange person in the book of Proverbs is all worried about what's on the outside. But God's people are all worried about what's on the inside. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 24, turn in your Bible there. Mark, this is good stuff. It ain't good because I'm saying it's good because I'm reading it right out of the book. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 24, to keep thee from the evil woman, the evil person, from the flattery, from that slick talk of the strange woman. Look at verse 25. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Neither let her take you with her eyelids. You hunger for what you want. Look at the word lust in verse 25. Put desire, hunger. You see, what happens is a lost person or a backslidden Christian hungers for what they want. And a born-again Christian says, I want what God wants. A person who loves God and surrendered to God says, I might want this, but I will die to my wants and I will live to what he wants. It's your stinking thinking in your heart that messes you up. Victory is yours if you learn to think in terms of biblical truth. I just want you to look at this. Lust not after her beauty in your heart. I need you to underline in your Bible if you do that. Beauty. And underline in your heart. Do you understand what's happening? You say, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just looking at the internet. Well, that's not, he just said right here, don't you lust after her beauty in your heart. He didn't say don't get in her bed. Not in this verse. He is going to say that. Don't get me wrong. He's going to say that. But you know where your problem starts is when you're wanting stuff in your heart that you're not supposed to be wanting. Amen. You need to decide, I'm going to do what God wants and not what I want. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 25 again. Lust not after her beauty. Don't let her take you with her eyelids. You know what? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, she knows how to use her eyes to let you know, I'm interested. Come on. He knows how to go. They use their eyes. And you are foolish enough to not read the Bible enough to know what God said about that. She loves to call attention to herself. He loves to call attention to himself. In Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 10, there's an attire of a harlot. Behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and a subtle of heart. I just want you to know something. He's like saying, check me out. Well, no born-again believer is ever going to say that to anybody. We don't go around and say, check me out. Because I want her to check me out. I don't care about the rest of y'all checking me out. I want to please her. There's modest clothing that a woman ought to wear that would preserve her dignity and her beauty. And a man ought to do the same thing. A man ought to dress in a way that says, I am not here trying to show off any of this stuff here. That's for home and my spouse. He saves himself for his wife. She saves herself for her husband. But notice the word in the verse 10, she is subtle of heart. Underline that in your Bible in verse 10. Subtle means, all you got to do is look it up in the dictionary. That's what I did. It means cunning and crafty, insinuating and deceitful and treacherous. She's walking around and says, check me out. I love you and I'm all for you. She's not really. And those people trying to mess with your gender and trying to mess with your relationship, boy with boy, girl with girl, man with a woman that ain't his, woman with a man that ain't hers, you need to mark it down. They're subtle. They're going to chew you up, spit you out, and stomp you and hurt you. And the Holy Spirit of God said, I wrote a book to avoid that. Amen. There's some instructions on the bottle of medicine you're about to take that says, buddy, this could be harmful to your health. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 6, you cannot figure this stranger out. The Bible says, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, and you cannot know them. When you have no truth, you have no stability. That's why some of your Hollywood actors, who, by the way, if you're smart, you really think they should help you figure out stuff. They tell you how to vote, and they tell you what your gender is. Oh, wake up. They live the most despicable, despised lives. Their beauty is subtle, treacherous. They have no truth. That's why now some of them changing genders and doing sex. They want to do sex changes on small children. who could not be allowed to make a decision about what part of the seat, the car seat to sit in, but they could be choosing what sex or gender they are. You need to realize this. We go on truth.
Amen.
God's truth. This person changes from day to day. You never know where they are. Go with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 11. The stranger doesn't like to stay at home. In verse 11, she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without. Now she's in the streets. And she's hanging out and lying wait in every corner to see who she can trap. She's going to ruin you. Lying in wait, that's what hunters do for deer. Lying in wait, that's what duck hunters do when they decoy in a deer, a duck to shoot. You need to underline in verse 11, this stranger's loud. Boy, they can make more noise than any God-Bible-believing, God-fearing, Bible-believing preacher. They're on the internet. They're everywhere you turn. They are loud and they are stubborn. The devil is. But get this, they don't want to be at home. They're opinionated. They cling stubbornly to what they believe, even if it's wrong. They desire to be out with friends and away from truth. They hang out waiting for sin and how to mess somebody up in sin. And they're daring. They're very daring. Look at 7:13. So she caught him and kissed him and with an impudent face said unto him. Look, she's hanging out at the corner. And this guy comes by. And she just reaches up and grabs him and lays one on him. And she has an impudent face. She has bold face contempt for decency and right. Impudent. She has no fear, no bashfulness, no concern over wickedness. She can sin and not blush. She can sin and not even think about what she's doing. Go with me to chapter 30 and verse 20. Proverbs 30 and verse 20. She has no conscience. Nobody's ever going to know. She doesn't care. In Proverbs 30 and verse 20, such is the way of an adulterous woman and an adulterous man. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I ain't done anything wrong. He's making a proverb saying this filthy, wicked, vile, despicable man or woman, they do wrong. And when they're through, they're like, I didn't do anything wrong. I have done no wickedness. So the girl goes on and shows her body on some porn site or the guy's doing the same thing. I've done no wickedness. These people pretend to be spiritual. Go with me to Proverbs 7:14. This is a crazy verse. Set of verses we're going to read right here. We're going to read about the four or five of these verses. Verse 17. I have peace offerings with me. My husband, he went down to the tabernacle. He went down to the temple and he offered his sacrifice and he brought back the part we get to keep. And he's gone on a journey. So I've got some left over that he offered to God. And while we whore around, we can eat on it. You don't get much lower than this woman. I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. I did the religious thing. I've been to church today. I did my church thing. Now let's go do the sin thing. In verse 15. I came forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thee, and I have found thee. They seek others like them. I know this makes you mad. I told Brother Brett Johnson, it won't make him mad because he loves his wife. He loves holiness. We were talking in the office this morning. But wicked people look for wicked people. And godly people look for godly people. Like is drawn to like. Water seeks its own level. Birds of a feather flock together. What are you doing on a website that's not for our kind of people? What are you doing talking to people that would encourage you to continue in a sinful relationship. Verse 16, she's so wicked, you know, she's got a part of the rump roast off the beef that was taken down, and she's going to have that for him. And she's already prayed before they sin, and she says in verse 16, I have decked my bed. I have really made up the bed fancy. You're really going to like my bedroom. Come on. She said, I have perfumed my bed in verse 17. And in verse 18, she says, let's take our fill of love. Let us solace, let us pleasure ourselves with loves. She has a complete disregard for her husband, for his wife. In verse 19, the good man is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him, and he told me when he'd be back, he'll come home on the day he appointed. So that means we got plenty of time to get away with it. Holy Spirit of God said to Solomon, write this down. I don't want your boy messing up. And I don't want the kids that go to Vision Baptist Church messing up. And I don't want the adults that go to Vision Baptist Church messing up. A man ought to love his wife. A woman ought to love her husband. And every single person ought to wait for the one God has for them. The stranger danger thing. So funny. When I was a kid, I waited for the bus. Mama didn't drive me at the end of the driveway. And then they came out with stranger danger. It's like, you better be careful about strangers. But I'll give you a better stranger danger. Anybody you're not married to, stranger, and there's danger. There's a lady at work that wants to talk sweet nothings to you. They're not sweet nothings. They're sweet invitations to sin. You don't have any idea how she left her home that morning, fussing at her kids and yelling at her husband and acting like the wickedest woman in the West. And she shows up at your workplace, and she's like, you're her way out. But you will be doomed before it's over. She has no character. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 17, where we started today. She forsakes the guide of her youth. Her mom and daddy taught her better than that. Sunday school taught her better than that. Church discipleship taught her better than that. She learned better than that in the children's church. But she says, I really don't care what they said. And then she says, she forgets the covenant of her God. She doesn't listen to what she's been taught, and then she forgets the promises she's made, and she forgets what God's promised and God's commanded. Let me explain something to you. As foolish as this may sound to everybody in this room, I believe what God says, even if it doesn't make any sense scientifically. I just really do. You could say to me, well, I just don't know about creation because evolution's kind of been proved. And I'm like, no, it hasn't. And there wasn't any of them guys there when they wrote it down. They just made it up after it happened. I know the guy that was there and he wrote it down. I'm going to just trust him. You say, well, I have desires for the opposite sex. And I would tell you, if you do, you got it from the devil. Because God never gave you that desire. And your body didn't give you that desire. Because your body doesn't really have desires. You know, I played with my grandkids. I used to say to them, watch it, my hand's going to get you. And I'd run my hand over at them. And they'd say, Daddy, don't do that. I said, I'm not doing it. My hand's doing it. And so I'd slap my hand and say, hand, don't do that. And it didn't take a kid long. 3 or 4 years of age, they're like, oh, you're doing it, Daddy. I'm not that dumb. But you are. You're that dumb. My body's making me do it. No, it ain't. It's your wicked heart making you do it. You need to get saved. Or you need to get right. But when the Bible speaks, you hush. Don't forsake the God of your youth. And don't forget the covenant of your God. Go with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 7. A wise father gave his son the consequences of getting involved with these strangers. But he makes real clear statements before we get into that about how silly you are. How your elevator doesn't make it to the top floor. How your load of bricks is missing a few. How you're not as smart as you think you are. It's amazing. You're 15 or 20 and you know more than God. The Bible says in Proverbs 7:7, I wish you'd underline this, and be held among the simple ones. Why don't we set up a class and call it the simple ones and send some of y'all there? I mean, all the dumb ones go in there. The ones that ain't real bright go in there. And then he says, void of understanding, empty of understanding truth. In verse 8, passing through the street near a corner, he went the way to her house. He said, you realize what happens when you go down to the sin place, it proves you ain't smart. The second you turn on that computer and go down to the sin place, you just need to write up, you know how that they had that commercial and the light bulb came on? Yours needs to come up a neon light. Idiot. Not smart. Brain dead. I'm trying to sell politically correct ones. Proverbs 7:22. He goes after her straightway like an ox going to slaughter. Let me explain something to you. If you ever watched Charlotte's Web, you know, and all the animals could talk and think, well, that ain't how it is. That made a good children's story. But the rooster's not over talking about, hey, hens, give a few eggs so you can have breakfast. Pig, you're dead. They need some bacon. And none of that's going on. They have no idea. When you load them up to take them to market and go to take them over where they get their head knocked in so that we can have a ribeye for lunch, they just say, I guess it won't be in the truck. Where is he taking me? What we always did when I was a kid, we put some corn out there from deep. Boy, they're sure nice as they haul me off. And Solomon said, you're as dumb as that cow on the way to be slaughtered. She goes, this is good corn. Oh, nice ride. Nice ride. Good wind. I'm enjoying this. Oh, new place to run around. This is nice. Oh, you want me to go over there? That's not. Bam. Ooh. Didn't see that coming. I didn't write this. Amen. I ain't this smart. Or as a fool who gets his hands and head and feet stuck in the stocks. Or as a bird that flies into the trap. Don't be dumb. Solomon said, son, don't be stupid. Solomon said, son, don't make these mistakes. And that's sad. I know every stinking Hollywood movie makes you think that girls kissing girls is cool and guys kissing guys is cool and people kissing everybody and doing all that junk all the time is so cool. But do you know who runs that place? It ain't the Holy Spirit of God. Can we just be honest? Hang on, I'll get there in a minute. I'm going to go a little overtime. Hey, y'all are the faithful crowd. You showed up today, man. So you're going to get about a 5 or 10 minute overrun here. The stranger and sex lead to death and destruction, and you can't turn back once you start. Proverbs 2:18. Her house inclines unto death. Underline that. Inclines unto death. She's got a slide outside like the kids do on the playground. And when you start going towards your house, it just gets slippier and slippier. And you keep sliding right into home plate and her paths to the dead. None that go her way return again. They don't get a hold of life. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 29. So that he that goes into his neighbor's wife, whosoever touches her shall not be innocent. Sin makes you think that sin is not a big deal. The devil wants you to believe nothing more than this. It ain't that big a deal. I don't know why that old preacher says that. You never meant for it to be like it is, but you will not escape and you are not innocent. I didn't write that. You start down an incline, a slippery slope, and once most start, they do not get back. I didn't say that. Holy Spirit did. What appeared to be fun will lead to a life of bitterness. In Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 4, but her end is as bitter as wormwood. I said, I need to look up that wormwood, make sure I can tell them what it is. You know what wormwood is? It's a wood that's got a real bitter taste. It says bitter is bitter. That's basically what it's saying. It's a bitter like bitter. Bitter, bitter. Sharp as a two-edged sword, her feet go down to death and her steps take hold on hell. Starts nice. There's pleasure in sin for a season. And Satan never shows you the end result. You see the Marlboro man riding on his horse through the snow. You don't see the cancer ward. You see the romantic story of a man dumping his wife and picking up a strange woman. You don't see the kids whose hearts are broken and lives are destroyed. You see a woman laying with a woman and you think that's fine and you think that's cute and you think that's, even Walt Disney World is now going to put those kind of films on in Hallmark Channel. You think it's cute. But sin cuts going and coming and leads to death and destruction. You lose your honor. In Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 9, lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel. You want to give your honor unto others? You want your family and your children talking about the wicked way you've lived? Proverbs 6:33 says, a wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. You get a stain that you can't get rid of. You ruin your reputation. You lose the respect of others. And what seems like fun ends up making you a cruel joke. You're left with wounds and dishonor and a reproach. You get sexual diseases. Proverbs 5:11. And thou mourn at the last when your flesh and body are consumed. There was a mockery made of this when it happened. When AIDS first came out, some preachers preached and said that this was the most important article to avoid AIDS. I'm 66, been married 47 years. I hadn't had any of these diseases. And my flesh isn't consumed. I'm just getting fatter. Play with sin. Watch it kill you. It eventually sickens. Dad warns his son that sin will destroy his body. Sin will make you poverty stricken. In Proverbs 6:26, it means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress hunts for the precious life. They spend for their sin and the fun they think it brings, but it ends up making them poverty stricken. Maybe worst of all, you destroy and corrupt your soul. Proverbs 6:32. Whoso commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding, not very smart, hadn't read the Bible. Whoever commits any sexual sin that the Bible's against, showing they don't understand. And he that does it destroys his own soul. It's almost like committing suicide. Physically, you're going to be shot. And morally, you're going to be shot. And your relationship with God is going to be really damaged because you're going to love your sin so much you won't listen to God. It destroys you. Solomon says, son, don't do that. I love you. Don't ruin your life. I'll give you one last verse and I'm done. I know it's not been a popular message. Well, I am doing Proverbs, and I'm just going to do them. And it's going to get pretty rough, but that's just tough. The Bible says in Proverbs 7:26, This woman, the strange lady, has cast down many wounded. That's the devil. That's what he does. The thief comes but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. This strange woman has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Supposedly, the strongest man in the Old Testament was a guy named Samson. But Samson liked illicit sex. That's just what he liked. He liked chasing the girls. He liked going to the lost people's, anti-God people's parties. That's what he liked. He could have gone down with the godly people, but he always liked to go down to Gath, to the Philistines' party. And over, those women tricked him, and he was so dumb that the whole story is a story of him reacting to getting in trouble because he listened to a woman who didn't love him at all, who would say to him, if you love me, and he got to the end of his life, and they have him, he's gotten his hair cut by this wicked woman named Delilah. And he's in this place grinding the grain like the mule that used to walk around in circles. His eyes have been poked out. And the once strong man is where you go to get drunk and make fun and throw stuff at him and laugh at him and mock his God and say, oh, great man of God, how the mighty have fallen. And he's walking in circles, and they're laughing at him. Solomon's basically telling his story. Solomon's basically telling his own story because he gave really good advice to his son, and then he married a whole lot of women, which he was never supposed to marry more than one. Like in the Old Testament, when you read they had more than one wife, they weren't supposed to. God winked at their time of ignorance. The Bible tells us in the book, in the New Testament. He ends up building temples to false gods, and God had promised David, I'll give your kingdom, buddy, you and your kids are going to rule. But by the time Solomon's life is over, the kingdom will be divided right after him. And the downfall is on its way. And it all started with illicit sex. Because illicit sex will make you do things you wouldn't want to. Solomon knew better. Solomon started out saying, God, I just want wisdom. God said, boy, I like the way you think. I'll give you wisdom and money. But by the end of his life, Solomon's all about what makes me fun, pleasurable, what my body feels. And by the end of his life, the kingdom will be taken from his family and things will go downhill till Jesus comes back to restore the kingdom. You know that feeling you have in the pit of your heart right now, how you're angry with me? You're not angry with me. You're angry with truth. You're angry with the Holy Spirit of God. You're saying he doesn't know what he's talking about. It's not true. I don't agree. That's what you're arguing with. If you reject it, it's a pretty strong indication of who you are. Father in heaven, I love you. I pray you'd work in your people's lives today, and I pray your name would be glorified and magnified. I pray you'd show yourself real and powerful. God, please help men tell their wives right now that they love them and they're going to work on their marriage and keep it hot and sweet between them. Help young people say they're not going to look at things on the internet. Help young people say, I'm not going to listen to lies that the devil's told me when I know what the Word of God has said. God, let decisions be made this morning. God, please. I've begged you as I prepared for this, change our lives. Let us have happy marriages. With every head bowed and every eye closed. You're born again believers, almost all of you. You need to make some decisions. You need to come put the porn on the altar and say, that's it, no more. You need to come and say, I'm going to keep myself clean and pure until I'm married. No more sex outside of marriage. You need to come and say, I'm breaking off that relationship where they're flirting with me, and I've been friendly to it. You need to come and say, I'm going to get in the Word of God, and I'm going to do what the Holy Spirit of God says to me. I'm begging you to make a decision that'll change your life for the good. I'm begging you to let this day, this message, be a message you'll never forget, because you're going to be careful about what you'll do. I want God to do a work in your life. I want God to give you strength and power to live in victory, to put all this junk aside. Every man in this room ought to be leading his family and his home. Every woman in this room ought to be following her husband and honoring Christ in everything they're doing. Every teenager in this room ought not listen to Red Book or any other magazine or any teen thing. Don't even listen to other Christians that try to make it okay to do what you're doing. I'm asking you, get out of your seat and make a decision. Come on. Maybe you're here and you're not saved. Jesus loves you and died for you, and you can know him, and you can know you go to heaven when you die. He paid your sin debt. The Bible says that you have sinned and Jesus died for you. If you'd like help, I'd be glad to help you. We want you to know how to go to heaven when you die. You pray in your seat or pray here. Whenever you finish praying, you can stand and sing with Stephen as he leads us in this song.